Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. I'm Dr. Casey Sees, and in today's episode, we're going to discuss the Word of God as a mirror, as depicted in the book of James. The imagery used here isn't just a passing comparison. Instead, it offers a critical reflection of our spiritual lives and calls us into an ongoing relationship with the Scriptures. In James 1:23-25, we encounter a challenging directive to move beyond merely hearing the word to engaging with it dynamically. James writes, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." At first glance, this passage paints a picture of an everyday action, looking into a mirror. Yet James isn't merely concerned with the act of seeing. He probes the immediate forgetfulness that can follow. This metaphor isn't merely about recognizing our physical features. It's a depiction of recognizing our spiritual state through the Word of God, then walking away unchanged, unchallenged, and unaffected. While hearing the Word is essential, it's the practice, it is the action, that truly counts. Hearing alone without subsequent action amounts to a fatal misunderstanding of the purpose of Scripture. Because James isn't suggesting an enhancement to our spiritual routine, he's calling for a complete overhaul in how we interact with the Word. Furthermore, this section of Scripture aligns with the broader biblical text and echoes the sentiments of Paul in Romans chapter 2, verse 13, where it says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." Similarly, Jesus affirmed this same statement in Luke 11:28, where he said, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Thus, from this initial discussion, it's not just the importance of this scriptural mirror, but the absolute necessity of acting upon its reflection. It's about moving from passive reception to an active, ongoing doing. It's from moving from hearing to doing, from seeing to becoming. As we look further into James chapter 1, verses 22-25, we confront a challenge that is being articulated by James, and that is the essential transition from merely hearing the word to actively doing what it instructs. We have to understand that this is not just a recommendation. Instead, it is a fundamental requirement for those who follow Christ, because James vehemently opposes the notion of being just listeners. He points out that such engagement is incomplete and flawed. He likens it unto a person who looks at the reflection in a mirror and then walks away and immediately forgets their appearance. This type of forgetfulness is not just an oversight. Instead, it represents an error that leads to self-deception. By failing to act, we deceive ourselves about the true state of ourselves and our compliance with God's directives. James encapsulates this call to action by inviting us to look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, and to persist in this focused scrutiny. This engagement with the Word is not fleeting, but it is a sustained, deep examination that compels us to live out the liberating truths that we discover in the Word of God. The outcome of such a diligent practice is not merely theoretical knowledge, but it is a transformative experience that manifests itself in a life of faithful obedience. In this context, the Word acts as a mirror, not only to reveal our current state, but to challenge us. It demands that we not only recognize our flaws, but that we take active steps towards rectifying them and aligning our lives more closely with God's Word and with His will. This blessing that James refers to are thus not a distant hope, but they are present realities that unfold through a life of dedicated disobedience, or rather dedicated obedience. In this context, the Word acts as a mirror, not only to reveal our current state, but to challenge us. It demands that we not only recognize our flaws, but that we take active steps to rectify them and to align our lives more closely with God's Word and God's will. You see, the use of mirrors is also representative in philosophical discourse that dates back to antiquity, where philosophers like the Stoics and early Christian thinkers used mirrors to symbolize the examination of one's own life. In this context, mirrors weren't just tools for physical reflection, but they were employed as instruments for introspection and for the pursuit of virtue. This philosophical usage underscores the mirror's role in fostering a critical self-awareness that is essential for moral and spiritual development. James uses this metaphor to deepen our understanding of the power of the Word. When he talks about looking into a mirror, he's not only referencing a physical action, but he is invoking a well-understood symbol of knowing oneself. This is not a casual glance, but it is a deliberate and earnest examination of one's inner self. It's about confronting not only what we are, but who we can become through the application of the Word to our lives. Moreover, James ties this traditional use of mirrors to the concept of the perfect law of liberty. This law is not merely a set of rules or guidelines. Instead, it acts as a transformative force, reflecting not just who we are, but who we are called to be. This law shows us our flaws and sins, but it critically reveals our potential for holiness and righteousness. The perfect law of liberty, then, is described as perfect because it encompasses the entirety of God's will as revealed through the teachings of Christ and Scripture. It's a law of liberty because it liberates those who follow it from the penalty and power of sin. By looking into the Word, the divine mirror, believers are reminded of their natural state, but it also shows what we are meant to be and what we can attain only through Christ. This reflection of our spiritual state prompts a call to change, an active, ongoing process where the Word continually shapes and molds us into the image of Christ. As we engage deeply with the perfect law, we find that it doesn't merely reflect, but it transforms. It compels us to not only recognize our imperfections, it challenges us to move beyond them. And so it is a call to look into the mirror of the Word and to adjust our lives accordingly, aligning ourselves more closely with the image that is reflected in the mirror. James illustrates this with the metaphor of a person who looks at the reflection in a mirror and immediately forgets their appearance. This scenario isn't just a momentary lapse. It represents a deeper, more perilous spiritual forgetfulness. It's about encountering the truths of God's Word, recognizing one's faults and sins, and then walking away unchanged as if this encounter had never happened. This type of forgetfulness leads to a passive engagement with the Word, which is a form of self-deception, where individuals believe they're on solid spiritual ground, yet they don't realize that they are perilously close to falling. This forgetful hearer believes that they've embraced the gospel when in fact they've merely nodded to its sound. This is akin to acknowledging a mirror's reflection without recognizing the need for change. The result is a superficial faith and a spiritual life that lacks the depth and transformation that true engagement with the Word can bring. It is against this backdrop of spiritual amnesia that James posits the imperative of remembering. This is not merely about the mental act of recalling information. It is deeper, and it is a discipline of keeping God's Word actively present in our lives. It involves integrating the Word into our daily actions and allowing the Word to shape and direct every thought and every decision and every action. Remembering in this context means maintaining a persistent mindfulness of how the Word reflects upon our lives. It's about holding on to the liberating truths of the perfect law of liberty and allowing them to continuously reflect on and reform our actions and our attitudes. This act of remembrance is the only way to combat spiritual forgetfulness that James warns us about. James calls us to a continuous and active remembrance in which the Word is lived out both in a conscious and conscientious way. This is not a passive process, but again, it is active engagement where the Word ceaselessly informs what we're doing. As we consider the dangers of forgetfulness, let's challenge ourselves. Let's ask ourselves the questions, how often do we allow the Word to slip from our daily thoughts and actions? How frequently do we glance in the mirror of the Word only to turn away and forget about its power? This isn't just about forgetting or abstaining or avoiding forgetfulness. It's about embracing a life where the Word continuously shapes who we are. And so as we conclude, I invite you to consider what specific steps you'll take this week to live out the Word. Maybe it's dedicating more time to study and reflection, addressing particular areas of your life where God's Word has convicted you, or perhaps extending help to someone in need. As we conclude today, I invite you to consider what specific steps you will take this week to live out the Word in your life. Maybe it's dedicating more time and study and reflection and addressing particular areas of your life in which God has convicted you. Whatever it is, commit to it and watch how God works not only on your life, but also through you to impact others.